Well, I'm at 30 Coffee and Eats at 244 South Terrace, South Fremantle, with the proprietor of this wonderful little business, Ollie. Ollie, you have a much longer name than that. Tell me, what is it?
Well, my real name is Damon Pages Oliver, but everyone calls me Ollie.
Well, that's certainly a lot quicker, if not simpler. Now, Ollie, we are here to talk about coffee, something that many people talk about interminably, and probably, like me, most people have gone through all sorts of phases, finding out what they like or moving on from what they thought they liked to something else. But you're a relatively young bloke. How long have you been operating 30?
I've been operating 30 now for, 17 months? And, yeah, it's been a real blast doing it. Yeah.
Now, tell me, straight off, in that 17 months, have you learnt things about people's coffee preferences that have surprised you? Has there been some development in the 17 months? What's your immediate take on coffee culture here in South Fremantle?
Well, definitely in South Fremantle, people know how they will like their coffees, and they're not shy to say exactly how they want their coffees. I get some coffee mixes with the different blends. I get a 60% almond milk and a 40% coconut milk mix, and you get all sorts of little quirks like that, which people know how they love their coffee, so I'm more than willing to adapt and appease them.
Appease them. And what is it you think, without me trying to guess at it, that drives these idiosyncratic coffee orders?
I'm not sure. So I suppose it's the amount of coffee we've got available in Fremantle, and people have gotten a certain taste into coffee, and they've sort of honed down to exactly what they love about coffee and what they want from their coffee. So I suppose it's just a matter of being soaked in the Fremantle vibe of the coffiness that we have here. And it's you get all these people who have gone to their nth degree with their coffees, and it's quite good. Yeah.
Now, what about yourself? Are you something of a coffee lover?
Oh, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't love coffee. But I'm relatively new into the coffee scene, I suppose, in a professional sense. I've always loved coffee and brewed my own coffee if I haven't gone out and never gone to the... Well, I've been to Starbucks a couple of times. That was quite interesting. Caramel lattes, or caramel macchiatos, I think they call them. But, yeah, coffee to me is... I need it every morning. Well, I don't need it, but I love it every morning.
Now, we can all do PhDs in this topic as to where coffee came from and how, excusing the pun, permeated various cultures and societies. But Australian coffee, or at least the coffee that you source today, comes from where and in what form?
Well, I've got local roasters who are only about 5 kilometres from where the coffee shop is itself, over in O'Connor. And they specialise in getting the different blends together. So the blend that I get from them specifically is a barbershop blend, which has got 2 Brazilian beans and a Rwandan bean in it to give the flavour that is what 30 Cafe is known for. And, yeah, it's quite a beautiful bean mix that they've got there that complement each other really well.
Now, that mix produces what sort of outcome? How do you describe it?
I would say it would be gold, liquid gold. but it gives sort of like the flavours you get from it would be sort of like a caramel and milk chocolatey sort of notes to it that gives it that sort of beautiful creamy flavour.
Yeah. And I take it that there's a fair bit of market research by those blenders and others about what people, if not on South Terrace, around the city of Perth, tend to like.
Yeah, absolutely. The guys are really into the roasting process and getting the best out of the bean, each bean that they do. And they actually, they're a small operation, but they go as far as up to Port Hedland, and they're down towards the southwest of WA as well, supplying their beans and good at keeping on. I know they've changed the blend that I've got just about a few months ago, just to keep it on point to where the flavour's going and how it's tasting. So Yeah, it's tasting really good.
Mm. Now, I get the impression at times that coffee drinkers are sometimes precious people, a little bit like people who like wine. They get used to what they're drinking and they like it very much, but then they want something that's a bit more adventurous. And so they want a single vineyard Shiraz and they won't want to blend it with something else. And they want something that's an Italian grape that's been brought here recently and only grown in the McLaren Vale or whatever and become, well, as I say, precious or picky or perhaps they just become sophisticated. Do those sorts of things happen with coffee? Do you have customers who are demanding something else of you?
Yes, you always get a bit of a trend is happening is like the single origin drip coffee that comes through. And I at the moment don't, I'm probably going to be doing some this summer, but I haven't been doing it in the past and it wasn't part of the sort of plan, business plan with here, but it looks like it might be coming in soon. We'll see how we go with that one.
Well, that raises an interesting question. I think about my own history with coffee and I've been sort of taking it seriously, at least looking at what people have been doing with coffee seriously since the late 1950s when my father took me to a hotel dining room while my mother was away in the country and people used coffee and chicory essence and added hot milk to it and I thought I was living a highly sophisticated life. And then later on, people had sort of the Italian on the stove type, you couldn't really call them a machine, but then you had the percolator, which was very popular probably through the 70s. Then I found myself in America where everyone had drip coffee, which seemed to me to be just so convenient. You didn't have to think too much about it. But these days, you've got a huge machine up here. And, of course, a lot of people have the French press or the plunger in their homes. Are there real differences between the different ways of making coffee?
There certainly is. It's each type has its own sort of, I suppose, idiosyncrasies about what it is, the flavour that comes out of the coffee and what it brings. Even with the machines and the different beans that you have, the different blends that you have with different cafes, you'll notice you go to different cafes and they all taste slightly different. And it's how the beans are put together, how on point the people are with, like, you're measuring every single shot that you put in, and then you're making sure the extraction is at the right amount. It's not over-extracted or under-extracted to get the right flavour out of the beans that you put in there. So each cafe has got slightly different things, as well as your different, like you mentioned, all those other ones. And you've got the AeroPress as well, which is like the travelling sort of version of, I suppose, a forced drip feed coffee.
Now, the AeroPress is new to me. I'm generally aware of it, but I don't think drunk AeroPress coffee or certainly haven't used it. What happens there and why do you call it the travelling machine?
Well, it's really small, packs up quite easily. It's basically a piston-style system or a syringe, I suppose, a huge syringe that you just put coffee in and the water and you push the water through the coffee to get the flavour through, and then it's easily just pulled apart and washed and you can just put that in your backpack or whatever you're travelling with and it's easy enough to carry, and then you've got amazing coffee so you can have your own little grinder. And then you grind your beans fresh and then go for it. And it's, yeah, on the go.
This is a version of roll your own, is it?
Basically, yes.
Now, how different is that, so far as the technique's concerned, from the French press? Or is it just more efficient?
It's probably a little bit more efficient in the sealing processes and how it's done. French press is like an old-style version of it. And I suppose it's just been refined with the newer technique that they've got with the AeroPress. It's sort of like a French press on steroids.
Now, you mentioned the single origin drip demand that seems to be growing. You might do that in the summer. What's that all about? Where's that coming from?
You get quite a few people just coming in wanting to taste different types of coffee because everyone's got, I suppose, they were so far into the coffee culture here that we're getting to wanting to expand a little bit more. I suppose it's like the beers that you get around here, and everyone's getting into the little custom beers that everyone's
boutique.
The craft beers that everyone's doing. So everyone's trying to find that little different type of flavour, what they can bring out of the coffee, what flavours you can get from coffee. And it's just a matter of experimenting and finding out what flavours that you like from, like, a single origin, what flavour can you get from that one bean, and yeah, where it takes you.
So if we're talking single origin, I mean, might this be something from Ethiopia, the original source, apparently, of coffee? You would have that sort of coffee bean here, and you'd be serving that.
Yes, we could possibly do that. Yeah, it can be all different types of beans from around the world. You got your African beans, and you go through to the Central American beans and South American beans, and yeah, I think you were mentioning before about the Vietnamese beans and stuff like that as well, which are starting to come on trend.
Mm. Now, there are different sorts of coffees. There's the sort of the Arabica, and there's the ones that are coming from Vietnam, which are, what are they called?
Robusta.
And what are these different beans doing?
Well, different types of the beans. You've got your different flavours that you get from them. The Robusta, obviously, is a bean that's not quite used as much in the higher end ones that we use. Doesn't quite give as complex flavours as the Arabica, and so we tend to use that a little bit more. But it's finding out that some of the caffeine quantities in some of the Robusta is quite huge as well, so some people are quite liking that style of it as well.
Oh, I see. But you're not using that, at least at present?
No, I'm not.
Now, I'm just looking up here in 3O at your board, white coffee, black coffee, tea and choco, chai, turmeric, and so on, mm-hmm. which doesn't exactly describe the coffees. But what range of coffees do you typically serve here? What are customers demanding?
Well, your main one you get would be your flat whites. And then you got all your cappuccinos and your lattes. But what's quite common, obviously, in Western Australia is the Long Mac topped up, which is, if you go anywhere else in the world, there's no such thing as a Long Mac topped up.
Oh, hang on, let's just go back to the Long Mac topped up, where this is topped up with milk. Do you supply the milk on the side, or you top it up straight off?
Oh, I top it up straight off. So basically, what the term macchiato is Italian, it sort of means stain. And so it's supposed to be two shots of coffee with a stain of milk on it. So basically, it's just a touch of milk just to give it a little bit of colour on the top. And that's what a Long Mac is. Then a Long Mac topped up is technically a flat white with an extra shot, or a latte with an extra shot.
Now, you seem to have a smile and a bit of a disparaging tone to your voice when you're telling me this story. Is it just a West Australian Perth Fremantle thing?
It's definitely a West Australian thing. There's quite a few conversations held on with amongst baristas and stuff about what is a Long Mac, and does a Long Mac topped up actually exist? And it's, to me, it's like whatever the person wants is what they want. And I know what a Long Mac topped up is, so we all know what a Long Mac topped up is, so I'm happily serving it.
Yeah. If you're in Lygon Street in Melbourne and you ask for a Mac, what do you get then?
You'll get two shots of coffee with a touch of milk, like, yeah, probably about maybe a 10 mil of milk, if that. And, yeah, it'll be a big surprise to most people.
Now, you've talked about the two shots. What is, here at 3O anyway, a shot comprised of?
A shot is just like, with a small coffee, you get one shot, in an 8-ounce cup, you get a one shot of coffee, which is like your regular sort of strength of coffee that most people have when they have a white coffee. So when you go for a 12-ounce cup, the next size up, you'll normally get two shots in that. And then you can go for a 16-ounce cup, which normally gets three shots in there, which I don't serve through here. I only do the 8 and the 12-ounce. But so a single shot is what you normally get in an 8-ounce cup, but in an 8-ounce cup you get two shots, and topped up is what a Long Mac topped up is for most people.
So if you order a flat white and comes to you in a normal cup size, although I've discovered if you're in Sydney or Melbourne, a normal cup size is smaller usually than in Perth. How many shots in that?
In a small one, it's usually just one shot. Yeah.
And the rest of it's then the milk heated up and put into it.
Yeah. You either get, if you get a black coffee, so a short black will be the same size as a small flat white, but with two shots. And so you pour the water in first, and then you put the two shots of coffee on top to get the crema, which is the beautiful sort of colour and the cream on top of the coffee, where if you want to do an Americano, you put the coffee shots in first and then pour the hot water on top to get rid of the creamer on top. So some people don't like the creamer.
So the same number of shots, though?
Same number of shots.
All right. So for the flat white, it's just one, and two, though, if you're going for the Americano
for a long black, yeah.
Or a long black. Mm-hmm. What if you have a latte and you have it the same small size as the flat white?
Well, the flat white and latte nowadays are exactly the same. So all it is that the milk has been stretched a little bit more to give a bit more of the micro bubbles in there, to give it a bit more texture in the milk, so it feels a bit frothier and a bit creamier.
That's the latte, is it?
That's the latte, yeah. The flat white is basically, it's just heated milk stretched a tiny bit just to give it a little bit of texture, but not too much, whereas the latte, you stretch a little bit more to get more of a creaminess to the milk. And then you've got the cappuccino, which has been stretched a little bit more than the latte. And most cappuccinos you get these days will have the chocolate sprinkled on top as well, which never used to be a thing, but now it's pretty much commonplace to have the chocolate on top of the...
And it's always, or traditionally, a little bit frothier on top, is it?
Mm. Yeah, the cappuccino has always got that... It's usually about a centimetre or so of froth on top, depending on the size of the cup and what style cup you've got. But yeah, it's got a little bit more... That's the most froth on top.
Not the same one shot if you're talking about the standard serve.
Yep, so these days the flat white, the latte and the cappuccino have all got the same amount of shots for each size that you go up. So the small will be one shot, two shots for the 12-ounce, and then so on as you go up in sizes.
Okay, so if you want to stay awake, you can order any one of them, you'll get the same amount of caffeine.
Yep, so, or then you can ask for more shots. I can give you as many shots as you want into a coffee.
Now, just going back to what people, in your experience here, typically come in and ask for, is it flat white first and everything daylight?
Yeah, you get, the largest one would be a flat white that I get asked for. And then it goes to latte, cappuccino and long mac are sort of on par. Maybe cappuccino not quite as much, but latte and long mac are definitely up there.
Yes. Mm. And what about the other variations that you're getting these days with the different milks? Just about everybody I know seems to... Well, once upon a time they were having soy, but now it's almond and I even see coconut around. What's going on?
So, yeah, we've got a different dietary requirements for people who, either for medical reasons or taste reasons or just being in South Fremantle reasons, I suppose. we've got several different types of milk. So, like here, I go through the soy milk. I've got oat milk. I have got almond milk, coconut milk. Then I've got the normal cow's milk and I've got the skim milk as well. So that's the milks I stock at the moment.
Mm. I noticed recently the Dairy Producers of Australia, whatever their more formal association name might be, wanting to ban the use of milk for anything that's not cow's milk. Perhaps they'd let sheep's milk in, but certainly not almond milk.
Well, what's the... They're going to call it nut juice, which sort of makes it a bit interesting for some people. Some people can't say it without a straight face.
Well, that's right. It might be worse for the other milks. They might trade better if there's almond milk and so on around. Mm-hmm. Now, do people typically take something to eat at your coffee shop here?
Yeah, definitely. You know, most people come in and get a little bit of a bite to eat, whether it be a little... treat like the Portuguese tarts here seem to trap a lot of people, and they come in wanting them, and I don't know whether they've got something in there that makes them addicted to it or not, but yeah, go through them. And then I've got all the toasties and ranges and wraps and stuff like that I do as well as I've also got the juices and stuff through here as well.
Mm. Now, the other side to the coffee culture, part of the coffee culture question is at what periods of the day or times do people have coffee? I think I discovered in Greece a few years ago, unlike the culture in Perth that I grew up with, they don't take coffee after an evening meal, for example. Mm-hmm. It seems to finish, and I think perhaps in much of Italy too, it seems to finish in the middle of the day. But what's your experience?
So you get your main sort of thing is pre-work during the week, where everyone's on the way to work and wants to stop in and get a coffee. and try and procrastinate their way towards work, and and then get a cup of coffee. Then it sort of a little quieting off for a little bit. Then it sort of peaks again about between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. Everyone either comes back out of the office, or everyone's who's worked from home or not working that day comes out of the house and then gets a coffee. So the biggest peak time I have is normally about between 9 and 11, and it gets really busy during those times. And then it sort of dwindles off and sort of picks up a little bit around lunchtime. And then after lunch, say about 12:30, 1 o'clock, it drops off again. And then you might get a spike a bit later in the day, around about 3 again, which sort of happens. But then that's averaged across everything. But each day is, you never know what it's going to be like. You can be prepared for one day, it's going to be a beautiful sunny day. Oh, it's going to be busy, and then it's quiet and nothing happens. Then you get a day where it's rainy and it's miserable, and you go, oh, it's going to be very quiet today. And then it's the busiest day you've ever had. And it's like, the hospitality you can't prep for. Mm.
And what about weekends? Are they different?
Yeah, weekends are they're busier than during the week, especially for me. And I get quite a few people here. I also run events down here during weekends and stuff like that.
Now, that raises another question about how you use spaces. The Fremantle Shipping News just posted an article about noise levels in, well, all sorts of places. You walk down the street these days and you can be accosted, in effect, by loud music. But in some places up and down the strip here in South Fremantle, the noise, particularly for older people perhaps, can be a bit intimidating, and you want to find a quieter place. You seem to have a almost perfect level here with some background music. But is that a consideration?
Yeah, because we run all sorts of different events down here. So we do music events down here, but most of it's acoustic. And the neighbours, like most of my clientele that come through here, are all locals, so they're all understanding of what's trying to be achieved here. So they most of them attend and hang out here, so it's really good. The community in South Fremantle is really amazing. It's really good like that. But like on the Saturdays, we do like bluegrass down here, and it's just a jam where all people from different walks of life come down and come and play together. Anyone's welcome to come and join and play, and that seems to attract more people, and gets really busy through here. It's quite fun. Yeah, just using the space for a different than just the cafe as well. Like the poetry nights we run down here as well, which is really amazing. And I serve quite a few coffees and chai teas at night time when that's happening as well, I suppose, to keep the older people awake and keep them going through to the evening while we're doing the poetry.
and what about summertime? Does that change the way the whole thing operates versus the cooler times of the year?
Well, one thing you'll see about the coffee difference is that we also do cold brew coffee.
Ah, now that's something I wanted to ask about. Mm-hmm. I should have. Cold brew coffee. Tell us about that.
Well, it's obviously brewed in a different process. Like the machine I use, it's done through the heat and the extraction through the pressure of the water, where the cold brew is done in a cold temperature and brings off a slightly different flavour, and it's really nice. The guys up at Micrology do the cold brew for me, so they do prep it all for me, and they supply it to me each week and bring it down, and I go through. Now coming into summer, I've got some hardcore fans that love it all the way through winter, drink it. They come in every week and get their cask of wine, or cask of cold brew coffee, because it comes in a goon bag just like the wine. It's quite hilarious. And yeah, then it gets through to summer. Like, I've sold quite a few today already, and yeah, so people love it.
How's the best way? I haven't, I have to confess. I keep seeing it, but haven't partaken to enjoy your cold.
Just as it comes, a little bit over a little bit of ice, and just sip it through that, and it's really nice.
Mm. It's coming black. You don't have milk, or you don't turn it into
Some people like to have it with milk and milk it down a little bit, because it's quite strong. With the sizes that you get, you don't need as much with the cold brew. I'm experimenting with a few things for summer, like doing some thick shakes, where I'm doing a salted caramel banana thick shake with a few shots of the cold brew in there as well, and tastes really amazing. So it's a coffee thick shake.
Right. Now, how can people find out about what's happening here, the latest coffees on offer and music nights and all of that sort of thing?
The best way is via the social medias. It would be the 3O Coffee and Eats on Facebook or on Instagram are the two main places where we advertise the stuff that we're doing down here and what's happening. Yeah.
And people have to be aware that 3O, which can be a little bit difficult to say, isn't Frio, but it's 3O, THREE, often with a little dash and then O.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 3O.
That's correct.
We've got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Given them the address and they can go into Facebook and Insta and find you.
Absolutely.
Well, Ollie, thanks very much for enlightening me and I'm sure others about the finer points of South Fremantle coffee culture.
Mm-hmm. No problems at all. Thank you.